is Jonathan Fogel, and you are listening to Mac Edition Radio.
This is Harris Fogel at the Photo Lucida Conference in Portland, Oregon, and I'm with Darius Hines, the editor of the Photo Eye book list. Darius, let's start by talking about photographic publishing and how Photo Eye began as a bookseller and how it's grown into this kind of multifaceted publishing venture.
Well, Rickson Reed is the founder and director of Photo Eye, which began as a mail order photography book specific company in the late 70s. Rickson had gone to New York and worked there for a couple of years and had eventually moved out to Austin and started, you know, had fallen in love with photography and moved to Austin and started the company as a mail order book company, which then eventually moved to Santa Fe. We continue to have a retail bookstore space as well as a retail commercial gallery space now. And we're known, I mean, PhotoEye has been known primarily as photography book specialists and sellers. And out of that, though, have grown all sorts of other aspects to the business. And one of the division that I'm in charge of and have the pleasure of working on is being the editor of the magazine, which is a quarterly magazine that essentially surveys fine art photography book publishing around the world.
Photography publishing has become a force into itself, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. There are, you know, there are dozens of books that come out every, I mean, there are so many books that come across my desk, and publishing has essentially two seasons in this country. We have spring season and fall and the fall season. But just to sort of give you a snapshot of how many books there are published today, we review essentially between 25 and 30 books per issue in the magazine, which as a quarterly means that that's about 100 books a year. And we have a hard time narrowing it down to that many books, which if you talk to some of the old timers, the idea of narrowing it down to 100 fine art photography books a year is just crazy. I mean, you could buy all of the, one of my early photography professors, who was Bill Jay, the historian, told me recently, he said, you could buy all of the photography books that came out in a year because there were only six. And so this idea now of like, of just hundreds of books coming out it's exciting and it's also bewildering at the same time.
Are people buying these books?
People are definitely buying the books. But one of the things that has happened in the industry is that because there are more and more publishers and more photographers in the market producing books, we see, you talk to everybody and essentially what you see is that print runs have come down to the average is about 3,000 or less for a photography book title, for an art book title, which means that there are people buying them, but people are also buying lots of other things. And so there's not going to be 15,000 people that will buy one monograph, one book, unless it's somebody like Annie Leibovitz or Richard Avedon or one of those sort of blue chip names.
Are more and more of these books self-published, or are they being published in conjunction with presses?
That's a good question. There's a lot of possibility for self-publishing, and we've seen some fantastic books come out recently. In fact, we're reviewing one in our summer issue by Andrew McSheese, who's a Seattle-based photographer who self-published. But the collaboration between artists and presses and small publishers has always been, and it's an intimate collaboration. And the economic realities of publishing a book are such that publishers are always interested in knowing essentially who's going to buy this book, who is the audience for it. And everybody is on the same page for the most part in that there's going to be anywhere between 1,000 to 3,000 people at the most. You know, I mean, unless you get some sort of runaway hit that nobody can predict. And so there's always that collaboration between artists essentially working to develop their audience, the list of collectors who are aware of them. And that's one of the things that a photographer brings to the table in talking with a publisher is really they bring their mailing list and they bring their connections to help sell the book, to help promote the show that's going to also help sell the book, things like that.
Has the evolution of technology helped the fact that a photographer can design their own book, can do their own separations, essentially can do all the pre-press?
Yeah, definitely. Although when it comes to a a trade book that is published through a, you know, through a major publisher or even just a boutique publisher, most artists are not doing their own separations and their own prepress. There's a few artists who are really involved enough and have spent the time to learn that, but that's a completely different craft from making a photograph and dealing with a digital file. What I think that what we're seeing in terms of, like, for instance, iBooks or Blurb.com or Shutterfly, those types of companies, is that it allows photographers to take a body of work and edit it and sequence it and lay it out in a rough way and produce a one-off book that is like an exercise in seeing, is this a successful edit? Is this a successful size? And using that to then approach a mainstream publisher and say, this is the idea for the book. This is where I'm at with it. This is how I think it is successful. And then it's almost like it's a great sort of calling card, and also a great, it makes producing a book dummy much easier. We still have to see whether people will be willing in the fine art community to actually buy in any sort of serious quantity or in terms of serious collectability those, you know, the iBooks or the Blurb.com books. Although the most recent example of a willingness is that I think the Metropolitan or the Whitney Museum recently announced that they are buying Stephen Shore's iBooks that he's been exhibiting, which is kind of a fascinating little anecdote. But,
well, let's talk about that.
As we all know, Stephen Shore is a huge name in photography and is not only an interesting image maker, but also a very intelligent person who has really played with, in a conceptual way and in a very interesting way, played with some of the relationship between photography and its vernacular uses, and then how that crosses over into the fine art world. So we know with the publication just last year of American Surfaces by Feiden, which was Shore's work from the early to mid 70s, where he had gone around, you know, taken this big road trip around America and had photographed, much of it was 35 millimeter, and then he had moved into larger format work, but he had taken that work and exhibited it as, with the snapshot aesthetic, exhibited it as postcards, and kind of played with this idea of, this is fine art work, but what's the vernacular sort of application of it? So he's always had this relationship of a playful relationship with the vernacular. And by vernacular is simply meant sort of the commonplace use of photography. So the idea of using these self-published one-off books that Apple essentially marketed to photographers, but they're great for, you know, they're great for putting together the birthday album or the, you know, the wedding album, or it's a modern day replacement of the photo album, except it's now, you know, it's this now self-published little book. So he started producing his own, which have now become collected by major institutions.
Every time I've seen you speak, it's been standing room only. What are the questions people are asking you? Why is there so much interest in book publishing?
I think there's interest because, well, one, there is still this lofty ideal that a book represents total acceptance somehow by both by a publisher, by the community. And so there's this idea that if I get a book, it will mean I've been accepted and I've made it. So that's one element. I think that there's that desire still on the part of artists. But there's also, photography has always had, as people like Martin Parr and Jerry Badger have pointed out, photography has always had an intimate relationship with the book form. I mean, even to the point that, you know, Henry Fox Talbot's first photographs were available. The Pencil of Nature was a subscription folio. It was a book object, and that was how some of the first photographs were disseminated. And photographs obviously work perfectly on the printed page. And on top of that, there is an element of the idea of a group of photographs having a narrative, or as Louis Baltz has said, that the photograph falls into this mysterious area somewhere between the novel and the film. And I really like that. I mean, I myself think about photography in terms of who published it. Like, I think in terms of publishers, and I think in terms of bodies of work, and I'm always interested in seeing a fantastic individual image, but I also want to see that tied into a larger body of work, a larger idea, a larger problem, and really a larger question. I think that questions about who we are and our relationship to things are vitally important, and I don't think there are single answers. And so that idea of multiples and things like that, I think it resonates with a lot of photographers. I think a lot of photographers think that way. And so the idea of a printed object, I think, is just really seductive. The other thing is, even though we're in this acutely digital electronic age, the beautiful thing about a book is it requires nothing to look at. You don't have to have an outlet. You don't have to have a computer. It's just you and an object and some natural light, you know, some light somewhere that allows you to access exciting ideas and images, and it can change your world. And I think that there's something so tactile and so physical about books. I think they will always be part of humanity's legacy from the past unto itself, all of those kinds of things.
Are there too many books at the moment?
At the moment, well, part of me wants to say there can never be too many books. I think that with this new tech, you know, what always happens with new technology is that there's an excitement and there's a novelty to it. And so the new technology being, we could talk about, for instance, obviously there's a digital element. And then on top of that, the ease of producing a digital book, it's still new and it's still fun and novel. And so I think a lot of people are still working out what's the best way to use that technology. So do I see a lot of bad books? Yeah, of course. And I think, well, somebody should have edited this, or they really should have thought more about the idea behind this work. But if anything, it's, you know, there's also just so many, you know, we have so many art school programs that are putting out, you know, every year there are graduates from these programs. And so there are more and more people that are versed in photography and interested in using photography and therefore making books. And so we're seeing, like, there's a growth simply in the community that just means there will be a growth in, you know, all areas of that, from the mediocre to the fantastic. So there's more and more mediocre things simply because of the volume, but there's also, that also means that there are more and more exciting things too.
So what are the top questions that people come to you for answers or advice on?
Well, the top question is, who is the right publisher for this body of work? Photographers sort of asking, you know, will be asking that. And the first thing I always tell them is, I don't know, but you can start to do your research on PhotoEye's website. We have a page that we developed specifically really to answer that question, and it's called the Publisher's Showcase. It's right off of the front page of the bookstore, and it literally, there's about 85 publishers there that we deal with regularly that all publish photography books. And it's a single page that has a thumbnail that leads to a secondary page on each publisher where you can see their front list, and then you can gather all of their backlist titles. And I always encourage photographers to start their research there, because you can, you know, what most fine art photography presses are really run by one or a few individuals that have a vision, you know, whether it's the editor, like, for instance, it's been at Yale University Press, it's been Patricia Fidler that has sort of crafted a fantastic list there. At Aperture, we all know that it's Leslie Martin who has put together an amazing, you know, sort of breathed this fresh breath of vitality into their publishing program. Smaller publishers like Nasraeli Press with Chris Pickler, and Twin Palms Publishers with Jack Woody. It's really individuals with vision who are essentially curating a list of books. And to become aware of what they are interested in and what they're publishing is important before you even think about pitching a project to them. It may be that you've got a project that is, you know, that could be a response to the landscape. Well, you don't want to go to somebody like Trolley Books, who is known for, you know, who is known for their social documentary and war photography books. It's just not the right match. So you need to become informed as a photographer as to who is publishing what and what do the lists look like.
Collecting photography books has become much more mainstream. I'm reminded of how successful Timothy Greenfield Sanders' Porn Portraits book is.
Yeah, no, it's definitely become more and more collectible. I mean, one of the things that I think is really exciting about right now is that we are essentially witnessing the birth of a new academic discipline, which is the history of photography books. The obvious volumes that have started that are things like Andrew Roth's The Book of 101 Books, which was a survey of seminal books, photography books of the 20th century. That was followed up, and very much as a response to Andrew Roth's book, it was followed up by the brilliant two-volume title called The Photo Book, A History, Volume 1 and 2 by Martin Parr and Jerry Badger. And that surveys essentially the entire history of the medium in a very international approach. It goes all the way back to the beginnings of the medium in the mid-1800s and moves all the way up to the present with books that are still in print today. And it's the way they have organized that book is really just brilliant. You'll have to get both volumes and sort of go through that and take a look. But then there were a few other titles. Like, for instance, there was a title published, I believe it was 1999, called Fotografía Pública, that came out of Spain, that was a history of books published from 1919 to 1939, which was when photolithography became the means of reproduction. And there were a lot of the seminal titles that we think of, like, for instance, You Have Seen Their Faces, was published during that time, and Brassai's, you know, famous book on, a couple of his famous books on Paris were published during that time. And so that was another sort of early title that got people really thinking about the history of photography and its relation to the published book.
Darius, what is the process in which you decide what makes the cut for the PhotoEye book list or not?
Well, the way we approach editorial is there are really three main sections to the magazine in terms of editorial. The heart of the magazine has always been considered what we call the survey of new books, which is about 20 to 25 titles that I have a group of writers around the country who I actually put together a spreadsheet of books of about 60 to 70 titles each quarter that has, you know, publisher, artist, title, and then a link to the book either on our website or the publisher's website. And I send that out and I ask people to send back their sort of top, you know, 3 to 5 choices of books they'd like to review. And then we go from there and I make assignments. So there's the survey. And then there are a couple of regular features and columns. There's something called the publisher's profile, where we profile a publisher of photography books every quarter. And that has been, you know, we've done both American and European publishers. Mary Virginia Swanson and I have been co-authoring an article, a regular column about, it's a how-to, it's like a guidebook for photographers on how to publish a book and how to sort of deal with some of those issues. And then we'll have, you know, a longer feature article or an interview, and those are assignments that I make, just sort of being in touch with looking at what's happening around the country and around the world and trying to find interesting stories and find writers who are interested in that. So it's a combination of me looking for really interesting projects that I think will fit in the magazine, but then also getting writers I get a lot of writers that pitch stories to me that sometimes I follow up on. But the idea of the survey, one of the things that I'm interested in is the magazine as a vehicle for dialogue. And it's not really an academic journal. I'm interested in writers talking about work that they find interesting and that they like. I have some of our reviews do tend towards the critical. Like, I want our writers to feel like if there is an element to this work that they feel is lacking or they don't understand or the book form doesn't fit the work, I want them to feel free to say that. But at the same time, I'm not interested in reviewing slams of books. I think that there are too many interesting books out there to waste time. I don't want to waste time on just saying this book is not interesting. I mean, why not just look at a different book then? So the editorial is a little bit collaborative, but obviously as the editor, there's some guidance coming from me.
Are there any overriding trends that you're noticing in the publication of photo books?
Trends. I think that publishers are aware that a younger generation of artists and artists that are not trained specifically in photography, are turning to the book form. And I think that if anything, there's and it represents a really exciting time for younger photographers and just photographers who have not had a lot of national exposure to potentially have a book published. And I think that's very exciting. It's like I sort of see the sheer volume of books being published. It can be both overwhelming and it can also be and I think that it rightfully so it's overwhelming. But the other thing is that it should be encouraging. It should you like as a young working photographer, I would think that, you know, you should be out looking at books and, you know, reading our magazine, hopefully, but just looking at what is happening and thinking to yourself, I can develop a project that could potentially be published. I think that's a very real possibility. And I think that the editing process and the conceptual underpinnings of any body of work have to be sound, but there's also, I just feel like there are so many more opportunities. There are far more venues, meaning both exhibition and publishing venues for young photographers, and I think that's a very encouraging thing.
Darius, where can our listeners find out more information about PhotoEye Book List?
The first place to check is photoeye.com, and that's PHOTOEYE. You can go straight to the book list from there, from our index page, and you can subscribe online. That's the best place. Otherwise, the magazine is distributed all around the country through lots of independent bookstores as well as Borders and Barnes & Noble. So pick up a couple copies.
Well, I want to thank Darius Himes of PhotoEye Book List for spending time with us today. It's been great talking with you.
Thank you so much, Paris.
For Mac Edition Radio, this is Harris Fogel. You've been listening to Mac Edition Radio. The contents are copyright 2007 and cannot be reproduced without written consent.